Welcome to the Six Figure Developer Podcast, the podcast where we talk about new and exciting technologies, professional development, clean code, career advancement, and more. I'm John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.
This week, we're going to talk about team construction and culture.
All right, so let's talk about team makeup. Teams out there are constructed of a variety of different team members and with a variety of different skills and experience levels. What's been your guys' experience with teams out there in the wild?
Well, I would say there's a pretty wide experience that I have. Anything from myself being one of the only developers on the team to having a being in a mix of a large array of varying levels of developers and also even non-developers on that team. It seems like sometimes things can kind of get a little bit dicey when you have a large or disproportionate amount of senior developers, and I use the air scare quotes there.
Yeah, you said senior developers in air quotes. What are you air quoting around that for?
You obviously we have it's pretty easy to get the title senior developer. I guess we'll just kind of cut straight to it. And there's plenty of people who kind of have that title, but they don't necessarily exhibiting the skill sets or sort of the leadership qualities that might come with that.
Yeah, I mean, really, all you have to do to market yourself as a senior developer is be a developer for about 3 years, and have the confidence to do it. The recruiting companies will certainly push for you to call yourself a senior developer after 3 to 4 years.
And then get hired on for a position for a senior developer.
Right. And then once you've been hired as a senior developer, you're definitely a senior developer, and you can continue to market yourself as that for the rest of eternity.
Right. And among the title senior developer, I've worked on a variety of different teams in a variety of different roles. My first real programming job, I came in and met two senior developers on a Friday, started the following Monday, walked in and said, where'd the other two guys go? They said, oh, you're replacing both of them. You're now the development department.
Awesome.
First real programming job all by myself, sink or swim time.
So you got senior like immediately.
Right. But I've also worked for companies that only hired senior developers. And on a large team, 37 developers of nothing but senior level talent or senior level title, at least, nobody needs 37 senior developers and no other skill set, right? Or no other hierarchy on the team.
Yeah, I guess you could kind of ask the question, if you have 37 seniors, do you have any seniors? Like, is there just like, if everything is important, is anything important?
Right.
Yeah, it's a pretty terrible curve, right?
Right, it's dangerous too, right? If you hire in 37 senior level developers, there's going to be a battle of wills there. There's going to be some shakeup. There's going to be some loss of potential talent. You know, where true senior developers might get lost in the fray and walk out or find something more suited to their particular needs. You might find senior developers just kind of bowing out and hiding in the shadows and not sharing their experience and their talent with the team. So you're not actually benefiting from their experience. And then you might end up with the more vocal developers rising to the top and sharing their ideas, good or bad. So, you know, hopefully you end up with the best of the best, the cream of the crop on top. But, you know, there's a danger that you might just get somebody that's vocal and maybe not necessarily as experienced as someone else on the team.
Well, and I know that we're kind of targeting a flat hierarchy as the focus point of the talk, but the majority of the things you just said are also true regardless of what position you're hiring if you hire too fast.
Right.
New people coming on, it's kind of like, you know, if you're the new guy in the yard, then you've got to find the biggest bully and beat them up, or at least make your position known.
Yeah, I don't recommend doing that on the first day of a new job.
I always do that, and I find the largest senior, and I just...
But there's that battle of wills, is what I mean, is that, you know, that you believe that you have a certain level of experience, you've been hired on, and so you start to try and assert what your experience tells you, and so does everybody else. And when there's, you know, five or six people coming on all at the same time, it really disrupts the flow of things.
That's absolutely true. And I think one of my concerns, and in my experience, the concern was this particular company really only sought and hired senior developers and did so very, very quickly. I know for a fact that they missed out on newer developers that weren't comfortable calling themselves senior developers when applying for a particular position. There are many times and many people that I've met along the way, young, both in age and or in career, that I would much rather work with someone of that caliber than some other maybe highly decorated senior developers.
Yeah, well, I mean, you bring up an interesting point because there's a title there, right? Because there is a both prestigious, perhaps elevated kind of piece, but then there's also the possible money. There's definitely money, and there's other sort of perks that kind of come along with this. A person who is very proud of who they are and very sort of arrogant, they're going to be prone to be looking for that, right? So they're going to sort of take that shortest path, and that may not be who you want. Someone who's a lot more willing to be humble about where they're at may actually be sort of avoiding getting that title because they might even be overly humble than what they ought to be, right? They need to have some more confidence to be able to stand up because they actually have the skills, they actually have the knowledge and the experience and the expertise to actually to build the teacher. But the title sort of scares them. The title alone, you know, is the scary part. And so if you had them as a part of a team, they would be busy being a great teammate. They would be busy building into the other people that are there. But because, you know, you're telling them, hey, bring this title in. But the person who thinks they know everything, the person who thinks that, yeah, I'm, you know, the greatest developer and you know, the world has ever seen, and they need to have me, they're probably they might be, but probably it's that's just their ego talking, and they're not going to necessarily even be the greatest teacher. So you can actually exclude a large portion of people when you're just simply isolating to those senior levels, and you're not growing talent from within.
Okay, so if we shouldn't have 37 senior devs, how many senior devs should we have, and how should we make up the rest of the team?
So I think the proper makeup of a team is more like a team pyramid. You know, you kind of want someone in a position that has a little bit more knowledge, has a little bit more tact when dealing with individuals and being a mentor. Maybe they are the best developer on the team. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just a single individual that is really good at digesting knowledge and spreading that knowledge amongst the team. But I look for, you know, one or two or just a handful of developers that are more senior, although I really despise those types of titles. Maybe just dev leaders or something on a particular team. A little bit more numerous in like a mid-level, and even more in a junior level or internship or something like that, because I really believe more in growing a team and working to build something together. I really enjoy working on collaborative teams that value delivering quality products to their companies, to their clients, to their users, and then, you know, growing from there.
So trying to think of the right word, but how real are the position titles assigned to these individuals? Are they, is it just, oh, well, the team knows that Jill or Johnny has the most information, and so they're looked to as a leader? Or is it the company has said, that this developer is the tech lead or the dev leader, and they hold that position, and there's only three of those positions available.
Right. I think it's going to be dependent on the company, the organization that you're working for, and those types of things, because, you know, the reason those titles typically exist is for seat count and for money availability, right? We have so much money to spread around. We can afford to pay a senior developer this, a mid-level developer this, and a junior developer much, much less, typically, right? My personal preference is to avoid those types of titles because, Clayton, like I think you alluded to, you know, after 3 years, everyone's a senior developer, regardless of experience. In my perfect mind, I would much rather it just be the best developer teammate leader is in charge of that team or that project or this feature set to deliver, and they work with others on their team and act as that, I don't know, lieutenant, general, whatever, and work to deliver that functionality. Now, I know that that's going to be difficult in many organizations because they do have that headcount and those dollars that they need to adjust for. So I'm not sure how to approach that or how we might solve for that.
So the actual title of senior developer or mid developer or junior developer is something that the industry seems to hold very dear. And it's very, very important for that individual developer to have said title because it seems like it means something. But I would love for a company to, and maybe possibly using different titles, but to define what it means to be a certain developer rank. The first real company that I worked for as an actual developer started to do that. They did use junior, mid, and senior, and they had, like senior one and senior two and yada yada. But they had, we define a mid-level number two developer as having these skills and this knowledge. If you want to move to a higher level, like a senior level one, then you must acquire this knowledge and these skills. And I think having that clear path and that clear understanding defined, one, it helped to motivate because it gave the individual developers a goal, something to work towards. But also, it meant that just having those 3 years of experience didn't automatically make you a senior in the eyes of the company. It was, we understand that you have these skills. And I think that the skills are way more important than how long you've been doing something. I mean, you can do a job for several years and be terrible at it. On the other hand, you could do a job for 1 month and be awesome at it. It just depends on the job and your ability to pick up that job.
I would actually use the company that I'm currently working for as a pretty good example of a way to handle this. So for starters, we still do have the junior, sort of a mid-level, a senior, and then we call principal, but we don't necessarily call them all developers. So we have the title of consultant, and that also fits in with other types of consultants. And again, that's really looking at that title somewhat related to the kinds of work that you have to do. So if you are tending to be a developer, then, you know, we're going to look for you to have certain skill set. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's the way that we utilize a person just based on their title. And so when we go and staff a project, we then look at, regardless of where your title is, right? We're going to set you up based on sort of the skills that you are exhibiting. So you might be a consultant and have sort of the mid-level. So we just get rid of the mid-term. A consultant is a consultant. There's a junior associate consultant, consultant, senior consultant, and principal consultant. Those are the different levels. But then we will just get rid of or not worry about the title, and then say, well, you might be a consultant, but you're a very high achieving consultant, and you have the ability to lead, and you've demonstrated that in previous engagements. And so we're going to set you up as a sort of a dev lead in this particular project, and we're going to construct a couple other people that are going to be good supports for you, and then sort of build from there. And then we'll create each sort of team that goes to fill that project optimally, that's sort of, and that also helps us being a consulting company, that sort of also helps us blend those rates down. So naturally, sort of having a team pyramid kind of has works really well in that sense, because you can provide more cheaper labor to a project than the expensive stuff. But then you also are growing that talent and that getting people who have less experience and less exposure, more experience and more exposure, but you're not putting them in a situation where they can't be, where they become overwhelmed. The one thing about it being a pyramid shape that I will kind of point to, as the teams get larger, and maybe we should talk about how big should a team get, but as teams get larger, I do think that you, if you take a true pyramid shape and not sort of like a diamond where your mid-levels really tend to be more your the main meat of, then your juniors begin to sort of overrun the ability for your seniors to lead and to establish good patterns and practices, because the juniors and the very, very inexperienced people will begin to put out work faster than anyone can sort of say instruct or teach or kind of bring it. And then they become the ones to drive the culture.
Yeah, they just become a code factory with no real oversight.
Yeah, that's a good point. So are you saying that we don't need 37 senior developers?
Maybe we don't need 37 developers, period.
In the whole world?
Well, on a team. It would be a few more than two pizzas to feed that.
Yeah, the two pizza mantra here, that a team should not consist of more than what two pizzas could feed comfortably, would certainly come into play here. But what about for very large projects?
See, I think that regardless of the size of the overall project, the project should be divided into sections that smaller teams can manage individually. If you have a super large project, like say Windows, the operating system, right? I was listening to the .NET Rocks podcast, and they have 33,000 Windows developers for the operating system. And they act like it's all one team, but it can't possibly actually be all one team. I mean, could you imagine managing a team that size? Just for even providing them with work would be impossible.
Yeah, how do you manage the work in progress at that point?
Right. But you could divide Windows up into a series of features and have a small team, somewhere between 4 and 8 developers plus QA and whatnot, and have them work on a feature or a sub-feature. And if the feature gets completed, they can move on to another feature, or if it's a feature that requires constant development or maintenance, then they can continue to work on that feature. There's no reason to have a project that's so large that it forces you to have 37 developers on a team.
So what do you think that max size really should be? Is it 8?
As a max, I would say, I might even say 8's too big.
Okay.
Personally. Because you still want to have that structure, right? You're going to have one developer on each team that is going to end up acting as a lead, either as providing the team direction or providing the code direction, but maybe even both. Like, that's just going to naturally fall out. There's going to be one person that the rest of the devs are going to go to ask some question of some kind. And there might be multiple of those for different purposes, but it's going to be there. And if you have too many developers, then it gets more confusing and more befuddled. I would probably stick to 5 or 6 developers as a maximum, just for my comfortability. I don't know about either of you.
Yeah, I would say like anything, it depends.
Sure.
I would again reiterate what we've mentioned on a number of different episodes, that slow down. Do the proper evaluation, decide how many members is adequate on a team, work with that for a little while, get some feedback, determine if the team is of proper size, of proper makeup. Do you have the right skills for the feature that you're working on, that you're delivering? Are you providing the proper amount of value? Do you need to add or subtract from the team? If so, reset your counters, because it's a new team at that point.
I would even say I think in my experience, a team of five has been the best team that I've worked on, or actually led in that case. I feel like when you start getting more than that, also your senior developer doesn't get an opportunity to really end up developing at all, because they're busy answering questions to everyone. And so they're digging into things, they're uncovering problems, they're explaining, they're coming alongside, and I do think there's a bit lost when you have too many of those positions or those kind of developers that aren't actually developing anything in a team. That is probably a pretty good indication that your team is too big.
And you get diminishing returns.
Yeah.
You know, like the more developers you add, the less effective each developer is going to end up being. So as we get close to the end of the show, I wanted to bring up something that, and I don't have a direct quote, so I'm going to paraphrase, but in one of Uncle Bob's talks, he mentioned that every 5 years, the developer workforce is split. Half of the developer workforce has been developing for more than 5 years, and half has been developing for less than 5 years. So every 5 years we double in size, and half of everybody is new. If that's the case, then it's literally impossible to have everybody on your team be senior. And most companies that I work for only really advertise for senior developers. So I got to wonder where the juniors and the mids are. Are they masquerading as senior developers?
Well, so using those numbers, actually, and a statement that we said, if that's true, then at any given point, half of the people that are in development have less than 2.5 years of experience, which means that if you get to year three, then you clearly have more experience than over half of the developers that are out there. So you are by definition a senior developer, I guess.
I guess among your peers, you might have a majority of experience. Well, that's kind of sad. And I mean, and you also got to think that, let's say, I'm just making this up, but it's probably close to correct. A quarter of the developers who have been around for more than 5 years are probably dropping off. Like they're changing jobs or doing something else. Maybe they've been promoted out of development, or they just decided it wasn't for them. So we are losing our knowledge all the time.
As we are developing, as we are software developers in our career, delivering value, delivering features, we need to make sure that we're delivering quality. We need to make sure that we are practicing clean code. I just rewatched episode one of Uncle Bob's Clean Code series, and he goes through step by step of why clean code is important. It's a freely available video. I will have a link to it in the show notes, but I would highly encourage everyone out there, either in software development or interested in software development, to go and watch that video.
And the rest of them, if you have time and the inclination. If you like this episode, please like, rate, and review on iTunes.
Find show notes, blog posts, and more at sixfiguredev.com.
And be sure to follow us on Twitter at sixfiguredev.
This has been another episode of the Six Figure Developer Podcast, helping others reach their potential. I am John Calloway.
I'm Clayton Hunt.
And I'm John Ash.